Bears. A Microsoft Office 365 MVP who knows practically everything there is about Office 365. He does stand-up events talking about Office 365. He writes about Office 365 on his blog site, and he does in-person training sessions and training videos about Office 365. There's also me, Mark Keane. I'm the voiceover guy and producer of this podcast. I'm also a Microsoft Azure MVP and a Microsoft Azure architect, helping people move to Microsoft Azure and consume it by helping them to make sense of it. This is a Need to Know podcast with Robert Crane and Mark Keane.
Contact us by email.
Feedback@needtoknow.cloud. It's your destination for anything Microsoft Cloud, including Azure and Office 365.
And Office 365. And Office 365. And Office 365.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Keane. Mark, welcome.
Hello, it's episode 121, Rob. Fancy that.
There must be some synergy there about 121. It's 11 times 11, isn't it?
Something like that.
So we've been going for 11 years? No, not quite.
Well, it feels like it.
Oh, that's not very nice. But yes, no, it is an achievement. Every episode is an achievement. A little bit of work to behind the scenes to get it going and get us both recorded and obviously to produce it and upload it and make it all happen. So we are glad that people take the time to listen to us. So we'll keep doing them. And like I said, we're up to 121.
And I must say, Rob, you sound brilliant. Like, literally brilliant. Your voice has never sounded better.
What would you like from me this time?
No, I'm being brutally honest, literally honest. Your voice is, because look, I must say, we are using a product called Zencastr. It is the free tier of it, and they have asked us to part of the when you go through and set it up and stuff. They said, are you prepared to talk about our product? Because in return they give us a free product. So yeah, Zencastr is a product that we're using. It's a beautiful product. The difference is it records both of us locally at each end rather than across the VoIP like we're using Skype before. So the quality of the voice, because it's a locally recording, it picks up the perfect quality of your mic that you've got, Rob, and your voice, like it's made a massive difference.
Well, it's a great, like I said, it is a great tool. It's nice and free. Just sign into a website and you can hit record. And like I said, it records at both ends, puts it up so that you can then mix them and produce them as you see fit. Again, great tool. Has a little chat window as well to converse during the podcast with your guests, and certainly recommend it. I think it's a great tool. Like I said, it gives you the best sound quality, and most importantly, it makes it easy when you do get guests on. So all they've got to go to is a website, sign in, and then they can start using it. So yeah, big plus, I think.
Yeah, like we later on in this podcast, we'll be speaking to Jeff Alexander from Microsoft, and we used it for the first time yesterday with myself, you, Rob, and Jeff. So we had three people on, and yeah, we still didn't pay any money, and it's a great product. It didn't miss a beat. So right throughout the whole podcast, whether we use guests or just us two, we can use this product.
Yeah, so again, recommended to all, so that you'll find that at Zencastr, so CASTR.com. Go and have a look and get started if you're planning on doing a podcast.
All right, time for news.
Why not?
As I take a sip of coffee. Would you want to kick off?
Yeah, why not? Again, always stuff happening in the Office 365, and plenty of stuff I noticed too around the Azure stuff. I suppose what I might note is that one of the big things I'm seeing out there at the moment is a lot of focus on security. So typically that's managed by Azure and Office 365, but we're seeing a lot of stuff from Microsoft come around the identity side of it. And that's why we obviously have Jeff Alexander on a bit later to speak about the EMS product, which looks after the security for products like Azure, Office 365 and other cloud-based services. So again, plenty of happening in the security space. Very interesting also is that the Office 365 guest access for groups. So groups sort of is the new way that Microsoft is managing the identities around a collection of services like SharePoint and Planner and things like that. That has now, the guest access has now been released to 100% of the worldwide services. So that means that you can get external users who aren't a licensed Office 365 user to come in and contribute and work on your guest work on your Office 365 services, so they can contribute in things like SharePoint and whatnot. Again, 100% free. So that's a pretty cool add-on. One of the things we want to see, I suppose, come shortly is the external access for things like Teams. So Teams is like latest service from Microsoft in Office 365, and it'll be really good to be able to have external access to that. We expect to see that in the new year. And again, given that Teams is effectively built on groups for access, I'm pretty sure that that won't be far away. What about on the Azure side there, Mark? What else have we got that we can let people know about?
Heaps of stuff. Look, Azure's going great guns, as always. I think it's might have the competition, the two-horse race, Azure versus Office 365 news. Azure may have, I think, sort of edged forward a little bit, whether or not that's all the events that's been happening or not too sure. But anyway, the first one I'll kick off with is the arguably the best one is auto shutdown for Azure VMs, which has come out to the portal, to the Ibiza portal. Now, it's part of the ARM portal, the technology they use for the dev test labs to auto shut down VMs is basically now in the portal. So you can literally go to the new one, go to where your VM is and select the option for auto shutdown, select a time, and then you've got an option in there too. So 15 minutes prior to shutting down, you can set a webhook, so I can basically send you a reminder, like an SMS or email or whichever else, however you configure your webhook to send you a reminder that your VM is going to be shut down. So that's pretty cool, because you're saving literally a ton of money by doing that and not leaving your VMs up and running 24/7.
Is there any talk maybe of automating the start of those machines as well, or just shut down purely?
Well, look, I've got a blog site separately anyway. Like, I've always done the automation of the shutdown and startup as well using Azure Automation. So you can do that with Azure Automation. There is like a PowerShell script on my blog site, which we can put a link in the show notes for that to help people with that. But no, this is more like the poor man's version of, you know, like it's there, it's easy to use. You just click the button and away you go, rather than having to put a PowerShell script in Azure Automation.
Okay, yeah, I've had a look at that and had play with that. So I think, again, one of the things that a lot of people overlook is the fact that you can obviously tailor the Azure running to suit your needs. So if you do have a non-priority machine that you want to shut down or doesn't need to be operating maybe over a weekend, you can automate that process. And I think this really comes going to be really helpful, this auto shutdown, especially for resellers, people who are doing test and dev, and that's exactly where it's come from. So it's great to see Microsoft apply that into the Azure portal and move it from the development area into the production, so give everybody the option. So great, great, great add-on.
Well, yeah, especially with the announcement back in September, Scott Guthrie was publicly heard saying that Azure are no longer competing on price with AWS and other public cloud providers, because it's just like it's a non-stop game and they're not getting anywhere. And so now they're competing on pure value, and this just proves that fact, the fact that, hey, look, they're giving the option to, it's right there in front of you, shut down your VM. Back in the day, when you used to run your VM 24/7, Microsoft used to get more money and make more money, essentially, but now they're saying, all right, well, here you go, this is going to create more value. They might not make as much money back, but this is going to create more value to the customer, and they're going to try and win in that respect.
Well, I think that's a smart move. I think that there are a number of providers out there, and obviously the way to compete is on features, on a value, and I think that's where Microsoft is winning, not only in the Azure stuff, but also Office 365.
Oh, yeah, it's they're bringing out a whole bunch of new stuff, especially around the value aspect. The other thing I had here was OMS, Operations Management Suite Service Map. Now, it used to be called Application Dependency Monitor when it was in preview, but now OMS Service Map being released to public preview. Now, it's a pretty cool solution with OMS. Now, what it means is when you set it up in the OMS workspace, you simply download a very small agent. You install that on your machines, in your environment, could be on-prem, could be in the cloud, wherever they are. Now, once that agent's installed, now don't forget, it's Linux and Windows as well, so both together, because now Microsoft is Linux's best friend, so Windows and Linux together, the agent will be installed right across the board. And basically, well, once it kicks up, it'll phone home back to IMS, the workspace, and it'll search, it'll build a map of your application, your distributed application. So literally anything TCP/IP, if it talks TCP/IP, it'll find it. So literally what it does is, on the IMS workspace, once you've got it all set up, you can see your application, your distributed application, the way it's distributed logically, with all the different IP addresses which it's connected to, the different servers it's connected to, what ports are going out, inbound, outbound, the time. You can set times, you can go back in time and see like stuff that happened in history. Look, it's great for stuff like migrating apps to the cloud. So if you've got a lot of stuff on-prem, you're thinking, okay, this website here, it's running a distributed application in the back end. You remember it's a SQL server in the back end somewhere, it's some web server. But then all of a sudden you run this tool and you think, oh no, I forgot about this other little file server which it's actually using as well. So this is a great tool for that.
Okay, so I also saw that Microsoft has released 7 new general purpose VMs on Azure.
They have. Look, they're continuously using, that's part of the A series.
Correct.
So the AV2 series, which is an SSD family, which is so that's all part of the news that we announced last time. Actually, no, it's not. It's the news we're announcing this time, because I'm going to... It's actually next on my news, Rob. It's a good little segue that you've actually mentioned, because...
It's almost as though we pre-staged and planned that, although we didn't.
Either that, because it's episode 121, we're just like, you know, we're just...
We're so simpatico. We're so working together, which is unusual this time of the morning, I must admit.
That's right. So like, yeah, the other big news, and maybe actually this one I should have mentioned first, because it probably is the biggest that I reckon, in my opinion, is Microsoft's come out, or Azure has come out, offering an SLA on a single instance of a virtual machine. Now, this is huge, because there's no other public cloud provider on the market that offers a SLA on a single instance of a virtual machine. Now, previously, as you remember, you had to have 2 virtual machines, part of an availability set in Azure, in the same region, to to make use of the SLA. But now they're offering an SLA on a single instance. The only caveat is you have to be using a premium virtual machine, which is like any virtual machine that uses a solid state disk. So anything with a solid state disk, if you have one virtual machine, it's basically covered by an SLA of 99.9%. Big news, Amazon aren't doing it, and pretty much nobody else is. Azure's the first in the market, so well done to Azure.
Excellent. And also, so another thing that you recently mentioned on your blog, something about the public preview for Azure Advisor.
Look, Azure Advisor is another one that I was saying before about how Scott Guthrie came out and said, look, they're not competing with price anymore. It's all about value. So look, Azure Advisor is exactly the same, along that same theme, about value. So you set Azure Advisor up. It's currently free at the moment during the preview. It basically looks at your subscription and literally advises you on best practices. So for example, if you've got a virtual machine, so let's say virtual machines, for example, if you've got, say, one standard, not premium, so one standard virtual machine by itself running in Azure, it might flag that and say, hey, this is not covered by an SLA, and it'll give you options to remediate that. So whether it be set up another virtual machine in an availability set, or change the family of that virtual machine from a standard virtual machine to a premium, stuff like that. Just general cost savings, just it's basically best practice recommendations of running workloads and services in Azure, and ways that the tool can come back and build a report as to ways you can do things better. So at the end of the month, you're not going to get that bill shock which most people get.
Yeah, exactly. So again, lots and lots of stuff happening here. Anything else in the Azure side of things?
Look, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's token authentication that's come out with Azure CDN. I mean, just quickly, token authentication just means that you can have authenticate your CDNs using the Edge POPs, before delivering the content. It basically prevents Azure CDN from serving requests to just about anybody. In other words, like a message board, which is using your assets without your permission, it can impact costs and things like that. So if they sort of reuse those links, so you can now add the authentication to the CDN to keep the costs down and stuff like that.
Cool.
And that's about it.
All right. Well, I think that, again, we'll just power through the news as we've done. We'll get into our guest. So our guest is Jeff Alexander from Microsoft, as you mentioned, and we're going to start focusing, hopefully do a series on the Enterprise Mobility Suite, which incorporates a lot of the Azure stuff as well, and help people understand it and then look at it as an option to add on to typically their Office 365 environment. So why don't we get into that interview right now? Jeff Alexander, welcome along.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Not too bad. And probably for those who are only tuning into this episode, shame on them. Do you want to give them a bit of a background as to who Jeff Alexander is and what role you currently play within Microsoft?
So yes, Jeff Alexander, long-time listener, first-time caller. But I've been Microsoft 29 years. Last 12 years were in DX, as you all know, as a senior technical evangelist. But now I've moved on into a group called the Sales Technical Unit, which is, and I'm a TSP, or Technology Solutions Professional, for Enterprise Mobility Plus Security. So that's kind of where I fit in, working with commercial customers and public sector federal customers in Canberra.
Excellent. Well, glad that we brought you along, because I think the topic of our podcast here is EMS, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, so why don't we kick off with a bit of a broad overview as to exactly what EMS is, what the letters mean and what it actually contains, so that people have got some grounding as to understanding what we're going to start talking about here.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I mean, it used to be called Enterprise Mobility Suite. On July 1, though, we changed the name to Enterprise Mobility Plus Security. And the reason for that is to align more with our security messaging that we're seeing within Office 365 and within Windows 10. And Windows 10 has an add-on, which is the Advanced Threat Protection for Defender. And so it's more in line with that, and because there's a security piece within EMS itself. It's kind of not a product per se that you can buy. It's kind of licensed to larger customers in a different licensing model. It's made up of Microsoft Intune, the product we're talking about today, which is Azure Active Directory. That is the main piece that it's made up of. We have other products in the suite called Cloud App Security, which looks after and finds SaaS applications that your users are using within your organization, and we'll talk about that in a later podcast. It has an on-premises product, which is called Advanced Threat Analytics, which is a product we acquired with an Adalom acquisition that we made. And that looks for... that's a UEBA product. So that particular product is for looking for threats that are happening in your on-premises Active Directory network. And then we've got Azure Information Protection, and you guys probably, you've been around for a while, you know about the old RMS,
yep,
Threats Management product. So Azure Information Protection is the new name for that. There is an RMS component in that, but that does all your rights management services and your data classification in the cloud for applications. And so all these products kind of tie together as a single solution that does a whole bunch of stuff in the cloud. And it's really benefiting is the fact that people are moving to more mobile devices, as you know, whether it's tablets, whether it's phones. And this is really about managing that enterprise mobility that we're actually seeing out in enterprises today at this point in time. So, yeah, it starts with Azure Active Directory, and then it kind of moves into the rest of the suite itself.
So you might want to just tell people to save the confusion, because I know, like, even for me at my level where I am with Azure AD, it is a confusing product, because it has the word Azure in there, it has AD in there, it's shared against multiple, pretty much everything that we talk about in the cloud. It's actually the commonality between everything. Mm. It doesn't actually live in Azure as such. It's a single entity, but just if you could sort of give us an overview of how exactly Azure AD, what it does, and how it sort of fits into the whole equation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Azure AD is, as you know, it is the way that we actually look at this is, we've had Windows Server Active Directory for a long time, since 1999. And that's been around for managing your on-premises identity, connection to other directories and all that kind of stuff. Azure AD was born out of the cloud, and we couldn't just lift and shift Azure Active Directory. Sorry, it's even couldn't lift and shift Windows Server Active Directory into the cloud. Azure Active Directory was written from the ground up for cloud scale. Okay, so it's designed to scale to the PaaS applications, SaaS applications that are in the cloud, and of course it drives Office 365. But there are different versions, and I think that's generally where we see a lot of the confusion with Active Directory, is the types of, like what version should I end up getting? What version is the right one for me to actually, that I should actually have? And there's a couple of different versions that we have with Azure Active Directory. I mean, we have the free version, and the free version is really just what comes with Office 365. You get a very basic version of that. You don't get any additional stuff. Where we light up the different versions of Azure Active Directory is based on our licensing with EMS. So right now, if you think about, when we think about Azure Active Directory, we consider that as the control plane. A lot of organizations look at the way that they manage devices from the device perspective. We look at, you think about the today, you guys have worked in IT, you probably still have customers that have firewalls around their internal network, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that was is that the way that they would manage their internal, their devices is they'd have a SOE, that have everything on that device, that have it all tightly managed, blah, blah, blah. Well, the world has changed. Right now, users are using SaaS applications. That might be Twitter, that might be Facebook, that might be other types of applications, Dropbox, Box, whatever it may be, right? And IT doesn't know about those. What we see it is identity is the core of what you're trying to do. The identity is the control plane. So there's not a case of where you have to build bigger walls. You have to look at the type of user that you have and make sure that you secure their identity. And that is the thing that we are trying to do with this. And we know that we're trying to, that what's going to happen is a lot of companies are going to work in a hybrid model with Azure Active Directory. But to give you, do you want me to talk a little bit about the licensing first before I, how it's actually licensed?
Yeah, because the licensing is sort of technical and complex. The technical aspect of Azure AD is licensing is its own.
Yes.
It's its own subject. So yeah, definitely.
So essentially what you have with Enterprise Mobility Plus Security is you have these two SKUs, for lack of a better word. One of them is called E3. Okay, so that is a licensing model that a customer can buy, and if you have bought or sold Office 365, you have an E3 suite for Office 365, right? And you probably have an E5 suite for Office 365. Okay. Inside the E3, from an Azure Active Directory point of view, what the customer gets is they get Azure AD Premium, or what we call P1. Okay, and that's just a level. And all it is by having that particular level in the portal, you light up certain features within an Azure Active Directory. Okay, so for example, if you are a customer and you're on E3, if you've signed an agreement for EMS E3, you get Advanced Threat Analytics, you get Azure Information Protection P1, you get Intune for device and application management, and then inside Azure AD Premium, you get Azure AD Connect Health, you get multi-factor authentication, you get group-based access management provisioning, you get conditional access, you get SaaS single sign-on, you get self-service password reset, you get cloud app discovery. You get security reports, self-service group management, all those kind of things. And then if you go to E5, you get my Azure Identity Protection, Privileged Identity Management, and then you get Cloud App Security and Azure Information Protection P2.
Do you know this all off by heart?
Huh?
Do you know this all
I'm trying to learn it off by heart, but I do have a slide in front of me that tells me kind of what pieces are. But I mean, I've been out talking to customers enough about this that I kind of remember what's in each of those bits. And so that's the way that we kind of license this. And then from a technical, there's no technical difference between Azure AD P1 and P2. It's just that we light up a couple of additional features. Okay, so you just won't see it in your portal. If you've got E3, you'll only see the things that you're licensed to. And the one thing I didn't mention is that for many years, we've had on-premises Active Directory and Forefront Identity Manager, or FIM, as you might know it as. But that's now been updated to MIM. Okay, and this is one of the things that a lot of customers don't realize, is if they are on Azure AD Premium 1, they already have a license to Microsoft's Identity Management tool. And essentially what that is about is to get us, it's a metaverse that allows us to get synchronized to something other than Azure Active Directory, something other than Windows Server Active Directory on-prem. Okay, so if you had to connect, synchronize to a HR system, or you had to connect to some other identity system that you have on your environment, MIM can help you with doing that. All right, and people get that as part of their Azure AD Premium 1 subscription.
I think so. MIM is similar to Azure AD Connect, isn't it?
No, MIM is an on-premises product that you actually install on your on-premises environment, that then synchronizes to the cloud and does a whole bunch of stuff on-premises. So MIM will do all your, and we could do a whole separate section on MIM itself, but MIM will do things. It's the connector to connect to other directories. Okay,
that's what DirSync uses, like when you set up the relationship between on-prem and the cloud, it uses like a different Captian version of that.
Yes, that's right.
Identity Manager.
That's right. Yeah. So, and what MIM does is it's a lot of people go, oh, do I need MIM for if I'm just syncing and doing password write back to my on-premises Active Directory? And no, you don't need MIM. You only need MIM when you have to if you have to do password synchronization between something other than an Azure Active Directory, a Windows Server Active Directory on-prem. Okay, so if a user goes up into the cloud and they change their password, we want it to synchronize all the way through to your HR system, and that's where MIM comes into play.
Okay. And I think the other thing here too, Jeff, sorry to interrupt, is that each of the products you're talking about could potentially be purchased individually, couldn't they? So the good thing is they're all bundled up here. They're made very, very cost effectively by rolling them into a number of suites. But again, if you need the one or two, you can certainly buy it. But I think once you get to the second product, it becomes so cost effective to look at the whole suite.
Well, our strength is that there's a lot of point solutions that are out there in the identity space. Like there's Okta, there's VMware, there's IBM. They're point solutions. Like Okta and Microsoft right now, from an identity perspective, in July of this year, Gartner put us into the Leaders Magic Quadrant for IAM solutions. So we are there in that quadrant with Okta, who is that's all they do is identity. It's the only thing they do is identity. The strength that we have is that it's all integrated. Okay, so you buy it as a license where you get everything. Sure, you can buy things individually, but then if you try to go do something else, you have to go look at a different product. We try to have it so that you can do your entire enterprise mobility with the entire suite, and it's far more cost effective, obviously, for customers to do it that way. If you look at what we do, like Mark, you were mentioning the DirSync. That's a couple of versions ago, the DirSync one. By the way, that's out of support at this point in time. So we want to encourage people to move to Microsoft Azure AD Connect. And that is our simple synchronization engine that we use that synchronizes your on-premises accounts with your accounts that are in the cloud, so that you then get true single sign-on to the thousands of SaaS apps that are available in the Azure Marketplace today. And so that then will do things like password write back, So if you want to do a write-back of that password so that you have that synchronization, user changes their password in the cloud, we want that password written back to on-premises. The other big thing that customers are doing, and that is a pain point for customers right now, is passwords. So you guys probably have heard that many, many times. Users don't like passwords. It costs help desks anywhere from $30 to $40 on average per incident to reset a user's password.
Jeez.
Right? So we have customers that are, and we have, and internally at Microsoft, we have and basically if you go up to sspr.microsoft.com, that is our self-service password reset portal. So if we can just introduce that one thing into a customer, we're going to save them that amount of money per incident. So that's another feature of Azure AD is the self-service password reset, making it so that the user can go and reset their own password without having to bother the help desk. So that's a huge one that we get with that, and it's a big one for customers because they're spending so much money on it. I was at a customer the other day, and they were spending like $40, and they were per incident, and they were doing 100 password resets per week.
Wow!
Simply because of the type of business it was, and you know, if you go to them and say, how about if you just do self-service password reset? It's going to save them a lot of money.
And I think the other thing too is that what I find is that a lot of, you know, businesses have outsourced the help desk and they've got an MSP style reseller doing it, and again it will mm-hmm. save them money in that. But the other side of it from the MSP, the technical person implementing it, is that if you're on the help desk and day in and day out the majority of your calls are password reset, which are pretty low level technical stuff, then there's not a lot of incentive there, is there? And sooner or later you find that those sort of employees move on. So removing that low level thing that could be automated is again going to save you money, but it's also going to free up, as you mentioned, the help desk to be able to pursue more high-end, more high-value tasks that they can work with a customer to get more value out of the technology. So
yeah, totally.
There's a win-win situation in many cases.
And I forgot to – yeah, that's totally right. And I did forget to tell you about one version. There is a version of Azure Active Directory which is called Azure Active Directory Basic. Okay? Basic is designed for task workers and where you don't have an on-premise environment. You get productivity features like group-based management, self-service password reset, Azure Active Directory application proxy. And what application proxy is if you want to publish an on-premises web application into the cloud to allow for single sign-on to that application. That's what the web application proxy does. And then you've got Azure Active Directory P1 and then P2, those versions. And of course, when you look at what we're actually driving, I'll just give you some numbers that I had the other day. It's really Microsoft Azure Active Directory in a nutshell. It's Microsoft's identity management as a service. And we have 85% of Fortune 500 companies are using the Microsoft Cloud. 750 million accounts in Azure Active Directory. We have 1 trillion authentications since the release of the service. And we have 1.3 billion authentications every day. A lot of that driven out of Office 365, because every Office 365 customer, as you know, already has an Azure AD subscription.
So how are you finding these customers coming to the EMS product? Are they coming to it already having Office 365? Are they looking at to put it together, implement at the same time, or are they doing it standalone?
It's a good question. It's a mixture at this point in time. We see it depends upon the customer. I mean, I deal with different sectors. I deal with commercial north, and I deal with financial sector, FSI. So I deal with a lot of the big banks. And it just depends upon the customer as to how they're doing it. A lot of them are doing Office 365. A lot of them, it's because there's an explosion of mobile devices, and they need a way to manage those. A lot of this started with MDM. So mobile device management, managing the increase in the number of mobile devices that people want to use for work. You know, the CEO gets the new whiz-bang iPad device and he just hands it to IT and says, I make this thing work with our environment. And so they get a whole bunch of these devices that's very hard to manage. So that's where it kind of started. Intune was the first of the products that was really in the EMS suite. And I've been talking about that product for a long time. And that is, but now it's there's just been an explosion of those devices. And we're seeing, obviously, an explosion in cloud. So we end up seeing... Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, thanks to Steve Jobs, you've got an explosion of these iPad devices, and now you've got like all this money coming in.
Yeah, and we made Office available on those devices as well. So that was also helped because they now can use Office on those devices, and then we can control their identity. So, and the thing is that we see millions of independent identity systems that are being used in this. The good thing is the information is controlled by the organization. It's not by Microsoft. They control all their information in the cloud. And the other thing that's driving this is the number of apps that users are using on a regular basis. Users want to get access to SaaS applications, and they already are today. And we have thousands of apps that you can get access to with one identity. I think it's around about 2,400 at this point in time or thereabouts.
Wow.
That you can get access to with an identity. Say if you wanted to set up a connection to Salesforce. And if you go up to the portal, if you go up to the marketplace in Azure, and you go to add that, you want to add the Salesforce application as an application that you want your users to access to. There's a link there for administrators that shows them how to set up single sign-on to that. And you just have to follow the instructions that are provided by the manufacturer of the SaaS application, and you can set it up for a single sign-on. So when the user goes to that application, they're not having to actually type their password in again, which is very frustrating for users. And it's also this notion of what we call business without borders. So it's, we're seeing the breakdown of having to have everything inside the walls of the organization. Users are working, users are working in all kinds of different locations. We want them to be productive. We want them to be able to work on the devices. But IT still wants to be able to have control of the, and be able to secure the data. So security is a very big part of that.
So I've got a question for you.
Sure.
So scenario is a user has just gone out and got the latest Android device, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a bit of money on it. New 2-year contract with their provider.
Yeah.
They've taken it to the office. They want to use that with all their apps. They want to hook it up to the company network. They want to use company email. The company obviously is nervous about using business email on a personal device.
Uh-huh.
As far as the user is concerned, what's the pain point or what's the kickback or what's the experience the user itself going to feel by having it sort of managed by a company, like a personal device?
Well, that kind of goes into another topic that we can probably talk about in another episode. But in a nutshell, what I'll talk about is we have two ways to do this. We have what we call MAM with enrollment or MAM without enrollment. So MAM with enrollment means that you are fully managed within an MDM authority. Think about it when you do an Azure AD join with Windows 10. You are fully joined to Azure Active Directory, and you're being managed out of Azure Active Directory for that device. MAM without enrollment means that, and this is a part of Microsoft Intune, allows us to say, okay, Mr. Dude that's gone down to Harvey Norman or wherever and bought the latest Android device, that's fine. We can do it so that you can keep your personal, you can use your personal device, and we don't have to enroll it into a management authority. So we have that capability to do that. So we have either way. And what we do is it's almost like a sandbox container that we do. If you think about it in the way that you would think about it in Server 2016 from a container point of view, mm-hmm. We almost can create a container and we contain. So if the user uses the Office applications, those are MAM enabled applications and we can manage those without enrollment. Okay, so those applications will be managed. We can do things like say they can't save something to the local device if they're using it from a Skype for Business. Sorry, not Skype for Business, OneDrive for Business. And we can set up policies to say where they can push data. And when they leave, if they take their device with them, all we do is we remove the managed applications.
Okay.
And we don't remove any of their data on that device. So it's like a sandbox container that we do to isolate between work.
So it's like an app level targeting way of controlling it, rather than the whole entire device itself. It's rather than just at the actual app itself.
That's correct, and that's what the MAN policies do. We do it. We can manage at the user, device, and app level. So we're very flexible in the way that, because we, and this is something that we get all the time from customers, that you know, my users are going out. We had one the other day, and I won't tell you who the customer is, but we had one the other day. They were using our dynamic CRM product, and they couldn't control the fact that people are updating their iPads to iOS 10. Anyway, now what they're doing is they, some of the people that are in this, in the dynamic CRM, are getting challenged for a password when they have multi-factor authentication on. Known issue with iOS 10. So they can't quite control what the users are doing, and what we're trying to do is get in front of that a little bit, so that we are able to allow the user to predict. The whole goal is that we are much more focused on the user, not the device. We don't care what kind of device they get. We support iOS, we support Android. We just announced Android for work. So we don't care what device it is, we're going to be able to manage it. And of course, Windows devices as well.
Jeff, how can an organization that's typically, let's say we've got, you know, on-premises AD, we're familiar with that, we've got a domain, especially in the small business, we're running off a single server, they're logging into that.
Yeah.
How do we start doing that integration piece to be able to, you know, get our identities, you know, into the cloud? What are the options that we can start, you know, moving that into the cloud where we can now, you know, manage mobile devices that are roaming free outside the organization?
Well, the simple thing is, obviously, you have to have a connection to, you have to have, obviously, you have to have a tenant, an Azure AD tenant in the cloud. And then you download a bit of software called Azure Active Directory Connect that runs on a server inside your environment. Simple. It's like a single Windows server box that has access to the cloud, and it has access to your on-premises network. We run a synchronization on that. And when we synchronize that, then those identities that are coming from on-premises Windows Server Active Directory are now synchronized up to the cloud. I just did this the other day. I simply have a small environment. As you know, I've got servers that I build all my on-premises stuff. And I have a server sitting there called Management, and that server has the Azure AD Connect software in there, and it's just a wizard-based, I think, Mark, you've done the DirSync one before.
I've done all of them.
You've done an Azure AD Connect. Very simple. It's very simple. And it'll kick off an initial sync. And obviously, it depends upon the number of users that you have as to how long it's going to take to synchronize that up to the cloud and the connection, obviously. But once that's there, then you have, and it'll tell you when you go into your Azure Active Directory, it'll tell you where the accounts come from, whether it's born in the cloud or whether it's come from an on-premises directory. That's the other strength, is that we have the very, very strong hybrid model.
And I think the other thing too for people to appreciate is that out of the box, you get the one-way synchronization, so the copy of the local AD basically up to the cloud, in the direction upwards, and then if you want the ability to synchronize back, that's when you're starting to look at the Azure AD Premium, which is part of the MS. So out of the box, you get the free one-way sync, typically to do Office 365, but if you add on the Azure AD Premium or the EMS product, you'll get that ability to do the full password right back, won't you?
Well, and we have to be very clear about what we're actually syncing. We don't sync the password. We do a hash of the password up to the cloud. So that's not like we're, and customers ask us about this. They get worried about, you know, because I work in government as well, so I know that they're concerned about the fact that, is my password going up? No, it's a hash. It's a hash of the password. It's not the password itself. And then we have the option to do the write back on-prem. Okay, so doing that route, you know, the password right back.
And I think the other thing too with the Azure AD Connect, so correct me if I'm wrong, but there were basically three versions. There's DirSync, which is the original, which is deprecated now. There was Azure AD Sync, which again has been deprecated in favor of the current version, Azure AD Connect. Mm-hmm. And again, that will allow you, so a lot more flexibility, but it'll also allow you to do selective sync, so you can target OUs, you can target different attributes to actually synchronize, can't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then MIM comes into play to get to other directories. You know, if you need to get to another directory through SOAP, Java, REST APIs, or an LDAP V3 directory. MIM helps you get to the other directories. Plus, we also have announced some PowerShell. There's obviously some PowerShell stuff there as well.
Yay,
PowerShell. PowerShell's there. And there's also some stuff for PowerShell for Azure Information Protection as well. But we can talk about that in a future episode. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've sort of had this, we've had our EMS, we've had our Azure AD around for a while, and Microsoft's obviously gone through the process of changing, the licensing and that. I mean, what do you see as the future for the, the Azure AD product and the stuff we've talked about? Is there further developments coming down the chain, or is it going to be a consolidation in the licensing? I mean, is there anything, features that you think that we can look forward to that are coming down the track?
Look, they're always adding additional things. I mean, the latest two things that have been lit up, and this only happened in the last month or so as I started in this role in October, is we have lit up two new features in Azure AD Premium P2, which is Azure Identity Protection and Azure Privileged Identity Management. So Identity Protection is about being able to protect a user's identity. So for example, there's a lot of cases where you've seen attacks. There was a recent one in a bank in the US, in the UK, in a target attack where users' passwords were for sale on the dark web. What Azure Identity Protection does is help protect against that. And what that'll do is it looks at location-based type scenarios. It looks at if there's brute force attacks going on in an account. It uses machine learning to understand where a user logs on. And for example, if you, Robert, logged on today in Sydney, and then 20 minutes later, your account was used to log on in London, that is not possible from a location point of view. We will flag that as a risk, and we will be able to actually do something about that. To be able to mitigate against those types. Because security, we're starting to see security become a very, very big thing going forward. And that's kind of where how we're actually leading. We're leading with identity-driven security. We're more increasingly talking to customers about security, and identity as the control plane is the big thing that we're starting to see more and more of that going forward. We'll see things. Just let me quickly finish that off. We'll actually see more and more things lit up. I can't tell you what's going to come. It changes every month. Look, Intune gets an update every month, so there's new things happening within Intune every month, and Azure's updated every month as far as I know. So it's kind of hard to, the only thing I can really say there is to follow the EMS blog, which is the one that Brad Anderson's team runs. For example, if that user, for example, how I was talking about, say if your account was flagged for risk, what we can do is then throw a multi-factor authentication up in front of that account. So say if somebody's trying to brute force attack your account, we can throw a MFA, go, okay, well, if this is a breach, we'll throw a multi-factor authentication up in front of that. And then, of course, what you're going to see is they won't have that multi-factor authentication, and they won't be able to get in. The other thing we can do is completely block access, but what we're able to do is to find out what's going on, give IT a little bit more of visibility into what's going on in these dashboards to find users that might be flagged for risk, and be able to do something about it. Sorry, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, look, I just heard you saying about logging on in Sydney and then 20 minutes later in London and stuff. And I do that all the time, and I'm conscious of the way that works, because I'm setting up sort of virtual machines in Azure, mm-hmm. in different regions and stuff for testing purposes. So I'm in Sydney, and then like within 5 minutes, an Azure virtual machine is spun up overseas in Europe or, mm-hmm. or America or something. So obviously that service that you guys use, even though I'm sort of skeptical of it and I am aware of it sort of in the background, it hasn't really caused me any problems. You guys have obviously done your homework, and if it's a virtual machine in Azure, that obviously Mark has actually spun up a virtual machine and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's not,
and we look, yeah. I can do it. Like I did this the other day. I spun up to get some data into my portal. I actually did that very thing. But I had I was on a user that was flagged as a medium risk factor because I'd set it up that way, right? So that we, I was able to actually create some data by simply pulling that VM and trying to log on with the same account, and that kind of thing. And like we'll do things like, for example, if a user goes and logs into a Tor browser, right? We will block them going in through a Tor browser, and we will flag that within the portal as well. Just, you know, so that we can understand, because Tor browsers are used for, you know,
underground.
Yeah, they're underground. They're a hacking tool, and we know that. So that'll flag an alert within that. And this all goes back to us trying to protect the identity. And I know that sounds like a control. It sounds like a marketing term when I say identity as the control plane, but it's the one thing that we have to try to get, because customers are used to managing within the four walls. But right now, we are not managing within the four walls anymore. With the advent of Office 365 and the take-up of Office 365, users are everywhere. We have to go with them, and we have to be able to make sure that we're securing their account, their identity first. And that's where I see a lot of the changes that are going to come with this new with Azure AD. That's just going to continue to be improved.
All right. Well, I think that, like I said, there's a lot of information that we've covered, and we'll look to wrap it up so we can let Jeff get on with his day as well. But, Jeff, if listeners want more information about the product, the changes, the Azure, especially the Azure AD stuff, and coming to understand all this and how it works together with things like Office 365 and maybe their third-party apps,
mm-hmm.
Where should they go? What's the best place for them to start understanding this?
Well, the best place for them, obviously, you go to Microsoft.com/EMS. That's the place that you will go to get the kind of architecture about how everything is going on. The second place they want to go to is blogs.technet.com/enterprise mobility. And that particular blog is where we will announce everything that is coming new within the service. So the enterprise mobility team led by Brad will have, like for example, we just announced on November 22nd, a bunch of changes to conditional access, some SDK updates and Android for Work. So we'll point everything there. There's also a good bunch of articles there around shadow IT. And then the other place, of course, is docs.microsoft.com. So if you're a technical person and you want to know about enterprise mobility, how it works, we are putting everything, we're slowly moving all of our documentation to docs.microsoft.com, and then you just choose the product that you want to look at, and you will see a link to Enterprise Mobility Plus Security. We've got Windows up there, we've got Azure, we've got Office, Visual Studio, a whole bunch of, so we're moving all of our documentation to that website. There may be some that's still on TechNet, but most of it is on Docs right now. And those three places are really where everything's being updated in a way they found out more. So it's all pretty good.
And people can contribute to that too, I see.
Yes.
You can sort of make a change. It's all in GitHub in the back end.
Look, yeah, that's right. And there's a whole bunch in there. And look, I mean, there's so much in Azure AD, we could probably spend a whole thing on each one of the topics. I mean, you know, the other thing we didn't mention is Azure AD Connect Health. One of the things that we added recently, this is a new service that was lit up, is customers want to know, you know, what's the health of my synchronization between my on-prem and my cloud? And so AD Connect Health gives us a little dashboardy look at saying, hey, you know, here's what the health of your synchronization, how that's all working. So we keep that up to date as well. So in conditional access is another big topic. You know, that's about saying, and I just did this, Mark, I have an iOS device and I have a Android device, and it's a very different experience on both of those. So by default, an Android device is not encrypted out of the box, right?
Hmm.
So I have to go through the process of encrypting that device before I join it to my mobile device management authority, right? Whereas an iOS device is already encrypted. So it's an easier process. So I've said in my policy that I set up in my tenant that, hey, the device needs to be encrypted, blah, 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 blah. There's certain conditions that this device has to meet. And that's where IT can allow them to use that device, but still be, from a security perspective, be comfortable that the data is going to be managed okay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that Android devices weren't encrypted by default. That's,
well, I reset it.
I've got an Android device.
I reset it twice. It's a Samsung Galaxy Tab S whatever. I don't know. Somebody gave it to me. And I had to redo it a couple of times. So I reset it. And out of the box, through the resetting process, that thing is not encrypted. So you have to...
That stuff should be default.
It should be. I mean, maybe it's an older device. I don't know. I mean, I can't say that for sure. I just, that was my experience. But look, it took me through our tool, our joining the MDM. It gave me, as a user, the things that I needed to do to get within compliance.
Yeah, I had exactly the same experience in my environment. I could do that with the mobile device management that was part of Office 365, actually, and then force the Android device I have, which was Nexus 5, to be encrypted, powered it up, says it wasn't compliant, followed the steps, done it. Encrypted it, now fully compliant, can connect Office 365 and, you know, get the mail, OneDrive, all that sort of stuff. So one of the big things that I tell resellers is that you really can't be selling security or, you know, enforcing security on your customers unless all your devices are encrypted yourself. So again, a policy is the easy way to do it, to make sure that every device that leaves your organization is fully encrypted.
Yeah, that's right. And looking in additional episodes of this, we'll talk about the other parts of this. And Intune is a very big topic. And we'll talk a little bit about how we can set policies and we can do all that kind of stuff. And then when we move on into the information protection, then we talk about the data itself. And we talk about the data itself and find out, okay, now that the device is moved, can I keep the data, that the documents? I want to make sure that, you know, if that document has credit card data in it, I want to do certain things regarding that. I don't want to allow that to go to certain places. You know, so those kind of things, you know, we'll talk about that later when we talk about additional parts.
Yeah, so obviously EMS is a big topic, and we're looking to extend this. So we'll do a couple episodes in a row with Jeff and some other people to give us a bit of a deeper dive into the EMS product, what it does. And how it provides, you know, the enhanced identity and security management. But I think we're probably wrapped up for this episode. Any other last-minute questions, Mark?
No, but you've given me something to think about. I'm going to check my Android phone. And in fact, I'm just looking at it now. It's unencrypted, so I'm going to hit that button, encrypt phone, and have peace of mind.
Oh, good to hear that. We've helped somebody to increase their security posture. That's awesome.
Excellent. Well,
we've known better though, right?
Exactly. So let's see how many other people we can get to do that for our podcast. So
there you go.
To wind us up, again, thank you very much, Jeff, for coming on. Mark, for twiddling the dials and asking some great questions. But Jeff, if people want to get contact with you directly on anything that you have mentioned in this episode or more specific details about yourself, how can they do that?
Same place. My blog hasn't changed. My blog is still there. So that's blogs.technec.com/Jeffa36, or they can email me at jeffa@microsoft.com. Too easy.
Easy. All right. Anything else from you, Mark, before we wind up and let Jeff get on with his day?
Nope, that's basically it. Thanks, Jeff, for coming on. Much appreciated.
No problems, guys.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.